There are just 3 weeks to go before the start of one of the greatest international sporting competitions, many would say the greatest, the World Cup. That's soccer for the sports averse. The U.S. team will be in Washington, D.C. on Sunday playing Uruguay in one of the team's final tune-up matches before heading to South Korea and the initial matches of the World Cup. Stefan Fatsis writes about sports for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us from New York. Hello, Stefan.
Hey, John.
Stefan, at the last World Cup 4 years ago, the American team finished dead last in a 32-team field. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Well, it shouldn't happen again. This is a much-improved team with a good chance, I think, to advance to the second round of this event. This is the fourth straight time that the U.S. will be in the World Cup, only one of nine countries that have done that. They're ranked 13th in the world, which would surprise a lot of people, and they're clearly the best team in North and Central America right now. Some names that you'll be looking for in the next during the tournament. Bruce Arena is the head coach. He coached in college and in the Pro League here. The stars of the team, Claudio Reyna, the midfielder, up front a kid named Clint Mathis from Georgia, who should score a lot of goals, which the Americans haven't done in the past. The lineup for the team includes 11 players who are on European clubs and 12 who play in the U.S. League, Major League Soccer. And the strength of the U.S. team is their goalkeepers. They've got two of them. Both of them play in the Premier League. That's the top league in England.
Of course, the run-up to the World Cup isn't exactly front-page news here in the U.S. The way it is in other countries. Where I gather which players get named to the national team are of grave national importance.
Now, it really is. The other day in Rome, fans actually held a demonstration outside the National Soccer Federation offices when their beloved but aging star Roberto Baggio was left off the World Cup roster. And if you want to compare the relative importance of soccer in two countries, in the U.S., we've got a handful of sponsors. In France, the French national team, the defending World Cup champions, they've got 54 corporate sponsors.
The relative anonymity of this American team isn't going to be helped by the location of the tournament. That's South Korea and Japan. Just about every game will be played during the middle of the night in the United States, right?
Yeah, that's right. The TV ratings are going to be awful, but all 64 games are going to be televised. Almost all of them will be live on ESPN and ESPN2 on cable. Some of them will be rebroadcast during normal hours on the cable networks and on ABC. And ABC is going to show the final championship match live at 6:30 in the morning. This is the result of an interesting 11th-hour deal. Because of the time gap and the likelihood of minuscule ratings, none of the U.S. networks wanted the World Cup, which is pretty shocking. Instead, Major League Soccer, the U.S. League, bought the rights to the tournament, and it's basically giving the games to ABC and ESPN, which are just going to put them on the air. But it's important for Major League Soccer because they want to use the World Cup to build the league's image. They're starting at their seventh season and still struggling to find an audience.
But as I understand it, the MLS, the Major League Soccer, will be the only pro soccer league in the world that will keep playing right through the World Cup. That seems a little odd. Why are they doing that?
Well, they need to take advantage of the exposure of the World Cup. In most countries, everything shuts down so that fans can watch the World Cup. In the U.S., that's not going to happen. So by playing, Major League Soccer can say, hey, the World Cup is going on, and we are playing too. We play good soccer over here, and many of our players are playing for the United States national team over there.
The Women's United Soccer Association recently began its second season. I suppose it's not going to be pausing for the Men's World Cup.
No, certainly not. But this league wants to capitalize on whatever attention soccer gets, too. Their marketing efforts are very grassroots. Girls that play the sport and their families that go to games. But they've got a big challenge in their second year, and that's to retain the fans that they attracted last year. They drew about 8,000 fans a game, which is pretty good. Those numbers are already down in the first couple weeks of the season. This league burned through about $50 million last year starting up. They've pared back their expenses. They're trying to get stability. I think there's a place for women's soccer in the United States. It may not be a big sport on TV, just as with the men, but if they can keep tapping into the suburbs and the girl fan base, they're going to succeed.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thanks, John.
Stefan Fatsis writes for the Wall Street Journal. He joins us most Fridays to talk about sports.